Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sumitomo Chemical India Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. From the management, today we have on the call Mr. Chetan Shah, Managing Director, Mr. Sushil Marfatia, Executive Director, Dr. Suresh Ramachandran, Chief Commercial Officer, Mr. Masanori Ozawa, Non-Executive Director, Mr. Kunal Mittal, Senior VP, Planning and Coordination Office, Mr. Anil Nawal, Chief Financial Officer, Mrs. Deepika Trivedi, Company Secretary, and colleagues from SGA, their investor relations advisors. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Chetan Shah, Managing Director of Sumitomo Chemical India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all of you, and welcome to the conference call to discuss the financial year 2023 performance of our company, Sumitomo Chemical India Limited. Kindly let me give a brief overview on the agri input industry landscape during the year. Financial year 2023 started with a very good first and second quarters. 25% growth in revenues as well as in profitability versus financial year 2022. This was mainly due to good water level in the fields, pre-monsoon showers, low-cost opening inventories, increasing cost where industry and trade partners were building up inventories, and overall positivity in the market in the first half of 2023. However, the situation suddenly turned adverse in second half due to the following key points. Number one, low insect infestation and limited volumes of takes in financial year 2023 caused by weather-related disturbances such as late monsoons, erratic and uneven rain pattern, excess rains towards the end of monsoon period. All these resulted into higher channel inventories and overall pessimism in the market. Second, Chinese market opened up post-COVID, and there we saw excess supply situation, and the market prices started getting softer and softer. The above two factors caused double impact: low demand, higher inventory, excess supply, and falling prices. Most industry players and channel partners attempted to reduce inventory levels drastically in the second half of 2023. The situation was further aggravated due to similar trends in other key export markets like Latin America, as some of the Indian players have sizable exports in this territory. Due to above challenging factors, our domestic volume growth and margins were impacted in the second half. Large part of growth was witnessed due to price increases in all our portfolio segments. The modest growth can also be attributed to the decline in revenue from fungicide segment. If we ignore the challenging situation in domestic market in second half, overall, it is reasonable performance in the domestic market. We introduced almost 10 new brands, four in insecticides, four in PGR, and one in fungicide during the year. Six out of these 10 brands are under Section 9(3) of the Insecticides Act, which means that it was for the first time introduction. Several of these unique 9(3) first-time registered in India after years of efforts and expected to ramp up over next few years, and we are looking forward to for a robust growth in these brands. Even though exports were lower in the second half as compared to our internal estimates, overall we achieved a very good growth in export market in line with our strategic direction to increase exports. As compared, the uptick in exports partially mitigated the decrease in domestic market. The company's recent capacity expansions are expected to support the positive momentum in export market. Overall, we are proud of our teams who worked together in this challenging situation and delivered a respectable performance in line with our past trends and overall strategic direction. We look at this situation as a small pause, which gave us an opportunity to reflect on our strengths and business fundamentals with a strategic theme for the current year, which is called Back to the Core. In near short term, our current assumptions are as follows. Efforts are taken to minimize impact of above mentioned challenges are expected to start showing trend reversal in near term. There should be limited adverse impact of El Nino weather situation, assuming current projection of 95% monsoon level and no impact on crop acreages. Growth is expected to be driven by volumes. This is a very, very clear message that during the year, the volumes of all our brands have to be increased, both for existing portfolio and the products which we have introduced recently. The input cost prices are at lower level and profitability should return to normal levels in next couple of months and when weighted average of inventories cost gets adjusted to current market levels. However, these assumptions and market situation is expected to be dynamic and we will need to monitor the same on regular basis going forward in next few weeks and months. It does not take, we have this negative trend, we hope this negative trend turns into positive trend as quickly as it had turned negative in the first place. By focusing on business fundamentals, our company will be ready to take best efforts to maximize the potential in any situation. With that, I will now hand over the call to Dr. Suresh Ramachandran to give more information on our operations. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for taking time out to join our call today. Hope my voice is clear to all of you. Throughout the previous fiscal year, we implemented several strategic initiatives to fortify our business fundamentals. These included expanding our strategic marketing, demand generation function, product development, channel partner analytics team, as well as prioritizing the implementation of more rigorous commercial policies from a long-term sustainable business perspective. Our portfolio comprises of 200 brands across the entire value chain, including 20 plus mega brands with strong brand recall. Our distribution network comprises of over 15,000 direct distributors and 60 depots and warehouses across the country, making it one of the most extensive distribution networks in the country with maximum number of brands. The growth of our domestic agro solutions business was primarily driven by price appreciation in FY 22-23. The notable growth in animal nutrition and environmental health markets can be attributed to increase in both volume as well as price. Export growth was driven by a combination of price as well as volume increase. The company has successfully established enduring positions in several export markets. During the year, our company experienced good growth of sales in African and Latin American countries, apart from shipments to our parent company in Japan. The company has received regulatory approval for selected products, which have exhibited robust demand and will serve as a strong base for expansion of our export business in the coming years. Our insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, and PGRs are experiencing good demand. With our robust supply chain and renowned brand names, we are poised to capture market share from unorganized players. We anticipate good growth, stability and profitability in the herbicides, PGR and bioerosional product segments. In order to mitigate the effects of seasonality on our company, we have diversified our product portfolio to encompass both Kharif and Rabi crops and are focused on augmenting our PGR segment's contribution. Our strategic plan includes upcoming product launches in this segment, which will further solidify our position as one of the top leaders in the industry. The new products and brands that we launched during the last fiscal year have been accepted by the channel partners as well as distribution network and have had a decent beginning given the limited time that these products had in the market over the last few months. As a part of our ongoing efforts, we consistently evaluate for our product portfolio to identify any gaps and work towards them. In that process, we are anticipating to launch at least another two products in the current fiscal year. Our company's robust field promotion initiatives have enabled us to establish direct connection with farmers, thereby facilitating their access to optimal farm management techniques. This in turn empowers them to enhance productivity and operate more efficient agribusiness. By leveraging real-time feedback, we have the opportunity to enhance our relationship with farmers, gain valuable insights into their needs, and drive growth as an organization. We have directly reached out approximately 4.4 million farmers and about 30,000 channel partners. Furthermore, we have implemented digital marketing as a supplementary aid to conventional marketing methodologies to enhance consumer product awareness and educate farmers on optimal farm management practices. Our portfolio comprises of 23 websites across 9 local languages and multiple social media platforms, which have yielded a staggering 20 million digital engagements. With that, I hand it over to Mr. Kunal Mittal, our Senior Vice President, Planning and Coordination Office, to take us to the next segment.
Thank you, Mr. Shah and Dr. Suresh. So first, we would start with our consolidated financial performance for Q4 financial year 2022-23. In this quarter, our top line in financial year 2022-23 Q4 was at 652 crore Indian rupees as compared to 664 crores in the previous year. The sales growth was impacted due to several headwinds in domestic agrochemical industry, as explained in detail by Mr. Shah. Challenges in the domestic market were partially offset by export sales. Q4 is not a major consumption period for the domestic agrochemical industry, and we believe our performance is respectable in the current extraordinary adverse situation. The insecticide segment recorded a flattish growth trajectory. Fungicides and metal phosphide segments witnessed poor demand, which was moderately compensated by strong growth in animal nutrition division and environmental health divisions. EBITDA was at 81 crore Indian rupees in Q4 financial year 23 as compared to 109 crore in the same period last year. Profit after tax stood at rupees 72 crores as compared to 75 crores in the same quarter last year. While the margins at gross level were lower, our company quickly focused on controlling the overhead cost and the cost management. These efforts ensured that our overhead costs were lower, and at net profit levels, our margins were largely in line with our past trends. Coming to our consolidated performance for financial year 22-23, which in our view is a more reflective situation of the more reflective for the current situation. The revenues from operations in financial year 22-23 were at 3,500 crore Indian rupees, which was increased by approximately 15% as compared to financial year 21-22, when we had recorded revenues of 3,061 crore Indian rupees. In domestic market, large part of the growth was due to price increases across our portfolio segment, whether it is animal nutrition, environmental health, and whether it is exports market. In all the segments, we delivered price increases. In exports market, the growth was both on account of volume growth as well as price growth. The sales growth in financial year 23 was primarily driven by impressive growth in herbicide segment, which was contributed by multiple product and not just one particular product in herbicide segment. And all in several of these products in herbicide segment, we have very good market share. The share of exports in the total revenue increased from 22% in 21-22 to approximately 25% in financial year 22-23. This was on account of increase in the exports to Latin America, Africa, and some other important markets, and increased shipments to our parent company in Japan. In financial year 22-23, insecticides contribute to about 43% of the total revenue, while herbicides was 24%, plant growth regulator and fungicides both contributed approximately 9% each in our revenues. EBITDA margins witnessed a growth of 11% from rupees 600 crore in financial year 21-22 to rupees 661 crores in financial year 22-23. Our EBITDA margins were 19% in financial year 22-23 as compared to 19.6% in the previous year. We were able to sustain our operating margin as a result of our initiative to pass on the higher input costs. This was further aided on improvement in our operating leverages, better product mix, cost optimization and better cost management, especially in the second half, and we continue to realize our synergies. PAT for financial year 22-23 witnessed a jump of 19% to rupees 502 crore from rupees 423 crore last year. We maintained higher inventory levels as compared to previous quarter on account of the approaching Kharif season. However, as compared to the March 2022 levels, inventories are at much lower level, and this indicates our corrective actions in line with the dynamic and challenging situation in the market, especially in the near term. During the financial year 22-23, our collections were at 3,676 crore as compared to rupees 3,458 crore during financial year 21-22. This also indicates that our team's ability to generate ground level demand and liquidation, which is followed by the actual collections. No sales in our sector should be considered final till the material is consumed and collections are realized. And our teams continue to keep this in mind and follow disciplined practices even under challenging situation. Our net working capital is stood at 124 days in financial year 22-23 as compared to 133 days in financial year 22. This improvement is largely due to the lower inventory levels, which were partially offsetted by fall in payable days because we have been purchasing at immediate payment basis for some of our purchases. We have cash and cash equivalent amounting to rupees 827 crores as on 31st March 2023. On the manufacturing side, since our overall volumes were lower, our production levels were also lower, especially in the second half. However, all our operations team focused on strategic cost optimization efforts, and this was our response to the challenging market situation. Our projects team expanded our manufacturing capabilities in line with our Make in India initiatives, which we had announced. We had earlier announced that we will be investing approximately rupees 1.2 billion INR, which is about 120 crore Indian rupees, for two Make in India projects to develop several proprietary products for our parent company and our global affiliates. This is over and above the normal and routine capex which we have been incurring for our existing products and businesses. Both these projects are progressing as per the expected timelines. One of the projects, which is at Bhavnagar facility for one important molecules, has already commenced commercial operations in the last financial year, and this is a very important molecule. For the second project, which is at Tarapur, which is a multiple products plant for mainly our EHD products, this plant is expected to start commercial production in the Q1 of financial year 23-24. These projects are being implemented, both these projects which we mentioned, Make in India projects, these are being implemented in our current facilities, and the operating margins of these projects are expected to be in line with our company's existing margin range. Both these projects are expected to contribute to the revenue growth in financial year 23-24. However, it may not be the full capacity levels in the current financial year because one of the projects will be started in few months' time. A variety of additional products that can be manufactured in India are also being evaluated, and there are discussions at various stages. Once and whenever the projects are approved by our board for the further investments, we shall keep you updated. Our R&D team is also involved in several product developments, especially in the off-patent segments, in the pre-mixture combinations, and focusing on the products for the future demand in the Indian domestic market and also in the exports market. And also in high regions such as Latin America, Africa, and some Asian countries. We would like to second what Shashan mentioned earlier. We are very proud of all our teams who worked together in this challenging situation and delivered a very respectable performance in this challenging situation. We have always maintained quarterly performance may sometime have variations due to weather impact or seasonal impact, and the annual trends are more accurate reflection of the overall performance. Overall, our performance in financial year 23 is in line with our past track record, wherein we have delivered 15x growth in last 13 years since 2010 when we started focusing on the Indian market. And consistently since 2010, we have achieved growth every year during this journey. And this gives us a confidence that we have built up a fundamentally strong business. As one of the most diversified platform in Indian agrochemical sector, and with a good track record of extraordinary year-on-year growth every year in last 12-13 years, even in some of the challenging year situation like last year, we continued on the path towards our strategic ambition to take the leadership position in the Indian agrochemical industry. With this, we would like to take a pause and we would like to open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Swati Hiru from Ratnabali Investment. Please go ahead.
Firstly, I just wanted to say that while I understand the entire industry has gone through a very challenging period, your team has still managed to outperform the entire industry. So I just wanted to say congratulations to the entire team. So my first question is that I wanted to understand if you could give us a basic sense of how many proprietary molecules are there in Sumitomo Japan and what percentage of that has been introduced in India.
Thank you for your question. First of all, thank you for your acknowledging our team's good work. Thank you very much for that. To your specific question, well, the parent company has many proprietary products, and quite a few of them we are already in Indian market in terms of importing the active ingredient and selling our brands of those active ingredients. So that would be at least 10 molecules which we would be in the brand business of parent company. And we are manufacturing around, as of today, two active ingredients, which is a part of proprietary products of Japan. And we are in the process of starting the production of five other molecules by the month of end of June or beginning of July, which will add to that portfolio. However, I must, even in addition to that, I must say that India is being considered now as the production hub for Japan, and they are in talk with us for many molecules, at least 5 to 6 molecules further, which are the top class molecules, not the old molecules, and they are talking about getting them produced in India. So that is at a feasibility stage, but all in all, we have full support from our parent company to make India a very robust production-based company.
Sir, I understand, but I just wanted a sense whether, say, 20% of the total basket has been introduced in India, 30%, 40%, and why are we not bringing that entire portfolio to India at one go?
So it is impossible to do that, number one, because all the products have to go through a very, very rigorous bioefficacy test. We have to convert those products to be usable in India. We have to fix up the ratios, the type of formulation, the strength of formulation, and it is a long-drawn process. So I think we can take 2-3 products at a time. The registration process, again, is a very long process. So it cannot be brought all in one go. And if you see the trend in the industry also of other multinational companies, nobody will bring the entire portfolio at one go. There will be only 1 or 2, maximum 2 products every year that will be coming in. So that is the way it works, Swati.
Okay, so what percentage approximately, if you could just give me a sense, have you achieved so far?
I doubt if I can give you that because, say, we have, as I said, 10 and 12, 17 products already, and Japan could have maybe 40, 50 products. So that way, and also Japan continues to have pipeline products. So it's very difficult to give you a percentage. But overall, I can assure you that we are on a very good situation of getting the products from Japan.
And this, what Swati, Mr. Shah mentioned, is only from the marketing and sales side. From the manufacturing side, we have just started with a very limited number of products, and there is a very wide variety, as Mr. Shah mentioned, maybe 40 to 50 SEC products. And currently, we are only producing 4 or 5 products in India.
Understood. Okay, so my second question was that Sumitomo Japan had recently made this acquisition in the biostimulant space. So I just want to understand, how does Sumitomo India benefit from that, and do these products in any way help India reduce, say, the fertilizer subsidy that we have?
No, this biorational product, yes, this is a very interesting acquisition that is made by SEC, and we just have had one meeting with the global colleagues, including Japan and USA, to understand what that portfolio means. And in coming months, there are going to be more definitive interactions of how to bring these products into Indian market. And I will request Uzawa-san, who is here with me, to throw some more light on this.
Thank you for asking that question. The company we, Sumitomo Chemical Tokyo, acquired is very, strategic one, which is the biostimulant business. And then so far, the business size is limited, and then the market they're selling is almost only limited in the United States. However, we are expecting we can roll out that product globally as once we can get the registration in those regions. So we are targeting some regions, for example, Latin America and the Europe, and of course here in India as the potential market. So we're excited to expand that business we acquired into all of the region, especially the fastest growing market here in India.
All right. Thank you, Zawasan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Agrawal from Idols Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Historically, you've been able to protect margins better than the rest of the industry, and even today, you continue to do so. So for the first time, we are seeing pressure both on the margin front as well as on the revenue front. You mentioned China opening up as a primary reason for this. Could you help us understand what you are seeing on the ground, and based on your experience from history, how would you look at the situation for opportunities?
Well, as I mentioned in my opening remark, the situation or the conditions of business turned adverse very, very rapidly and without any warning. And we had to act very fast in terms of controlling our inventories, definitely controlling the prices and not eroding the sales price to an extent that the market had fallen. Just to give you an example, our compared to the last year, last financial year, fourth quarter, where we had strategically imported more raw materials for stocking because we saw the price trend going up, and which actually happened in the first quarter of financial year. As compared to that, we reduced our purchases for stocking a purpose almost by 20% as compared to the previous quarter. So that is what action we took. And the ground reality is that prices are falling every week till now. I think we are seeing some stability of pricing as of the beginning of the month of May. But till April end, the prices were drastically falling every week. I think now the prices have bottomed out. I don't see any further erosion of prices in this sector. And we are trying our best to liquidate whatever limited high-cost inventory that we have as quickly as possible and move on to lower-cost inventories. Also, every month, on the basis of average costing principle, we are reducing our cost every month, like right from January, February, March, April, and May. And going forward, we see the same trend. So I think we should be fine in a couple of months.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. So thank you, Amit. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ananda Padmanabhan from PGIM India, AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So for the year 2022, financial year 2023, what would be the contribution of glyphosate as a portion of your overall domestic business and export business? And if you could give some color on what kind of margins would this product be enjoying for this fiscal year?
So see, the glyphosate, what we had in the current year, our volumes of glyphosate came down by 17%.
Okay.
But the value of that, even the reduced volume, went up by 50%. So it was quite a volatile situation. The prices have corrected as of 1st April. We can predict that prices will still correct somewhat additionally, and I think it should settle down on the onset of monsoon. And we expect to grow our volume to our previous levels. So we are expecting growth of glyphosate both in domestic market as well as in export market. We have got some new registration in African countries for our glyphosate 71% formulation, and we have started the export of this, which also we feel that will increase in the current year, in 23-24.
And just to add here and supplement whatever Mr. Shah mentioned, I think overall proportion of glyphosate sales in financial year 22-23 was approximately 18%, which was, as Mr. Shah mentioned, increased due to the higher price realization. Historically, if you see last 2-3 years, it used to be about 15% level.
Okay, and this 18% would have come at higher than corporate average margins given because of the price increase?
Margins would largely be in line with our company level margins.
First
half the margins were high, in the second half it was slightly lower, so overall it would be along the corporate line.
Okay. And how do you see the on-ground situation in India currently, given the lack of clarity or some confusion with regard to the government regulation for the product?
Well, we don't see any issue in that, in a sense that, see, first of all, the important thing to note is that government is not talking about any restriction in usage of glyphosate. They are only talking about the mode of usage, that how it should be or by whom it should be used. So, as you must be aware, the matter is in the court, and government has given a date of 19th of July that they will come up with some solution. And we don't see any solution to this situation, so it will get again postponed, or maybe the relaxation in the circular.
Okay. And with regard to the LATAM market, in the presentation you had mentioned that there is some sort of a channel high inventory in the market. So in the current scheme of things, or if I look at fiscal 24, how should we look at the overall export business for the company, and specifically for the LATAM business, how should we look? Because that has been one of the fastest growing piece for Sumitomo in the last couple of years.
You are absolutely right, and we are concerned about this situation. However, the LATAM situation is also a matter of fact. I mean, it is not a hearsay or anything. It is absolutely true that they are stuck with very high inventories. And what we feel is that till the first half, that is up to August, the demand may be slow. But we are certain that as the season starts from June, a lot of inventories will get liquidated, and we should be back in normal business condition with LATAM in the second half.
Okay. And with regard to the pricing for your supplies to subsidiaries and sister concerns of your parent in the export business, would the pricing, transfer pricing, would be in terms of margins, it's a cost plus kind of a pricing that happens, or it's more of a market determined pricing to the extent that in case there is a sharp fall in the pricing, you will have to take some hit on the margins also?
No, so it is on the margin basis. It is not cost plus basis, number one.
Okay.
Number two, the prices, if it goes down, I think for those molecules, I don't think we face that kind of situation. And because this type of situation is more in generics like glyphosate or imidacloprid or acetamiprid or thiamethoxam or something of that sort. But these are the different product lines, and we don't face any such volatility in pricing in terms of input cost as well as our selling price.
Okay. So if I look at FY24 in terms of growth and margins, how confident are you of maintaining that 19% plus or minus 1% margins the guidance that you had given previously, you'd be able to maintain in FY24?
Well, our endeavor will be always to maintain it, apart from the exterior situations and circumstances. Our endeavor will be to maintain this type of margins.
Okay, but any recovery that should ideally, in the current scheme of things, it should be more like an H2 kind of recovery is what one should ideally build in the current scheme of things that you're seeing on.
I am sure that in a part of H1 also we'll see a turnaround. So maybe this situation could be little bit on the lower side in Q1, but we expect Q2 to bounce back to normal.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I will get back to the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I hope I'm audible.
Mr. Thareja, the audio is unclear from your line. Please use the handset mode.
Yeah, I am on the handset. Is this better? Can you hear me?
I can hear.
Yeah. So the first question is on the tax rate for quarter four. It is low. Any explanations on why that is the case?
Yeah, that is because we got some refunds of the previous cases which are going on, and I think that was a substantial amount. So there is a difference of around 2% or 2.5%. About 12 crore rupees we got refund. So that's why you see the lower tax in the Q4.
Right. And the five molecules that you will start your contract manufacturing for, you had indicated that the potential could be around 200 to 250 crores. Up to what proportion of that peak potential do you foresee yourself reaching in this year?
In this year, since we'll start the production, say, by July, and we'll have only 9 months, and taking into account certain registration delays or something of that sort, I think we will achieve at least 50% of our target in this year.
Right.
So it would be somewhere bit more than 50%, but at this point of time, it is very difficult to predict because the plant has not started the commercial production. And if everything goes well, it could be slightly higher. But that is what Mr. Shah mentioned, a lot of uncertainty that when it will start. And hopefully everything can start and all the registrations globally can be in line. And then we can achieve, I think targeted revenues either this year or certainly by next year, we should be achieving the numbers.
So we are trying to achieve at least 50% this year. And also, let me tell you, I mean, for the entire group who is listening, that the revenues of 22-23 does not include any revenue from our clothyridine plant, which we started in Q3 of 22-23 in Bhavnagar. We are producing the material, but we have not commercially build any material in the revenue, so it doesn't come in the revenue of this year. So for 23-24, we also expect that will what revenue will be coming in. So that production we are continuing, and the only reason why we could not invoice or export that product is because of some delay in USA for the approval of the label and the final registration copy that they have to receive. So now it is all clear, and we'll start commercial shipments during the year.
Right. So this will be in addition to the other five molecules.
Right.
No, this is part of those five molecules. So there are two projects. One project already started the commercial production during last year. As Mr. Shah mentioned, no revenue has been achieved. It is only the commercial production and inventory build-up which we have done so far. And the second project, which involves four multiple products, will start, the plant will start operations sometime this year, in next few months.
Okay.
And both of these projects should give us some revenues during current year. And that is why we are confident, as Mr. Shah mentioned, that we will have revenues, and all of these revenues in the current year will be incremental because there was no revenue from this project in last financial year.
Right. This year has been strong for your exports, 30% growth. Given the situation in Latin America, with the channel inventories being what they are, would it be possible for you to give us some idea of where do your exports growth settle in 24? You know, on the one hand, you have this issue of slowdown in South America, and at the same time, you ramp up, you know, your cramps piece. So how should we think of the exports growth? And for that matter, you know, also on the domestic piece, since you've introduced new molecules last year, while the environment is a little subdued, between the new introductions and the environment, how should we think of, you know, the domestic growth as well?
Thank you, Ras. Mr. Shah mentioned earlier in his comment, yes, the LATAM market is facing challenges currently, but our estimated that the current inventory should get liquidated or cleaned off by the end of first half latest, and second half normal demand should come up, and you know we could start, you know, significant upsides or some upside at least during the second half of the year, while the first half still it's not zero, some sales would happen, continue to happen. While that has been the LATAM situation, our focus is also on growing the African market, where we have recorded good growth last year. We got a couple of new registrations which we want to build on. And another one is Asian market, where we are focusing to grow. So overall, the exports market would continue to grow, including LATAM. That's our anticipation at this point of time. Now, coming to domestic market, the new launches. We launched about six new actives or six new 9-3 registration products which were launched sometime starting from July of last year and could not get the full season. Some were launched as late as February, one product PGR in Apple. None of these products got full season last year. It was all like 3 months, 6 months, 2 months. There is always a craze for new technology among the farmers in this country. So whatever we have launched, we have delivered whatever our internal targets were for 22-23 under the challenging conditions. There's quite a bit of field promotion activities, brand building activities, digital marketing initiatives, all of those things are, we did not let it go despite the challenging condition, and we knew that these are all new products we had to invest, and we did all the groundwork, whatever was supposed to be done during any launch year. And our team's full focus is on, you know, ramping up these new products in the current year. We are quite confident that whatever feedback we are getting either from the channel or the farmers, they've all been accepted well and the products have gone as per the plan. And this year also it would, you know, despite the challenging conditions, people would look for new technologies. And these products would definitely record growth in the coming year also.
And we would also like to highlight that, say, this 1 year or 2 years could always be a lot of variation sometime. But as a strategy and as a trend and direction, what we have been saying since last 2-3 years that we will be growing our off-patent molecules growth in exports market, Latin America, Africa, we have achieved and we will achieve it in the future. And in addition to that, manufacturing of the proprietary molecules under Make in India, expansion of that portfolio and making more products and exporting it to our parent company and also domestic businesses. So all of this continue to be growing, and 1 year could be up and down as I think we are seeing the current situation, but as a trend in medium to long term, we are on that strategy and we will continue to achieve and deliver those strategy in next medium to long term.
And you also talked about, you know, 5 or 6 more additional molecules which are under discussion to be bought for production in India. Just to understand, you know, we've been given some idea of the scale that the first 5 can achieve. Is it possible for you to give us some idea of the scale that the next 5 or 6 can achieve, given that you're talking of these being relatively larger, if I understood this correctly, relatively larger molecules?
I think it would be unfair for me to give you the number, but I can assure you that you know, we are in discussion with SCC Japan, and these are all the molecules we are talking about are the new technology, new molecules, and very, very bright, futuristic growth molecules. So, and they are all new generation. So, it's nothing is generic. It's a new generation products, and with the type of forecasts that Japan has for these products in the global markets, it would be a very, very good situation for Sumitomo Chemical India to be in manufacturing these products.
But any timelines you could provide as to, you know, when you see this fructifying? I understand, you know, you have to ramp up the first five, but any timelines roughly to work with over which this can happen?
We are going to start our development work of our Dahej site sometime in 2023-24. And if you take the registration process and the installments of plants and machineries, I would say 3 to 4 years.
The final question, Indiflin is, I think, a patented molecule, while LATAM is in a bit of a difficult situation. It's probably more from the point of view of generic molecules. So I wanted to understand whether if Indiflin is going to do well irrespective of the situation there, in which case, you know, for you, tebuconazole goes with Indiflin and will therefore that also, irrespective of the current situation, do well?
Your understanding is correct. We don't see any slowdown in Indiflin. And Indiflin, as a matter of fact, they have projected very good volumes. So we expect very good orders of tebuconazole in the second half.
And you have no capacity constraints. I think there was some issue, if I recall, in the earlier quarters of FY23, you indicated you sort of had full capacity there. Have you added capacity for tebuconazole?
No, we have increased the capacity, and we have enough capacity to cater to the demand of Indiflin plus tebuconazole.
Mr. Faizan?
Thank you. Mr. Sareja, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Chintan Modi from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, sir. Sir, we had a fire incident at our Bhavnagar site in February. So if you could highlight whether there was any one-off impact because of that in the fourth quarter, or we are likely to see some impact in first quarter?
Yeah, there was an unfortunate incident of fire in our Bhavnagar plant. And I wouldn't say that we had any impact due to that in the fourth quarter or the first quarter, because what we have done is both the products, the two products which were manufactured in that plant, we had enough raw materials in our books, and we have got that same converted into finished AIs by a very reputed two companies on job work basis. So we are being able to fulfill our domestic as well as export demand of these two products as of now. However, the one of the product, tebuconazole, is primarily the second half product, and quinalfos, which is another product, we are continuously exporting it to Asian markets. So there is no impact on revenues because of this.
Sure. Secondly, with respect to CAPEX, this 120 crore CAPEX which we had for these five molecules, I think that will get capitalized in first quarter itself. Can you tell us beyond that what kind of CAPEX one should expect for FY24 and maybe for FY25?
So just to correct, part of the CAPEX has already been capitalized in last financial year 2023, and part of this will be capitalized in current financial year once the plant start the commercial production. And in terms of the forecast for the CAPEX, as we have mentioned that annually about 12 to 15% of EBITDA, we look to invest in our CAPEX projects annually for various activities like debottlenecking, sustainability, making the products more efficient, modernizing our plants. In addition to that, whenever something extraordinary like a project specific capex is approved, we will do additionally. And as Mr. Shah mentioned, that I think even if we do something in later this year or next year, it will take 3 to 4 years for those kind of projects to come up. So we do not have the estimates right now that how much that additional capex could be, but as and when the board approves this, we will keep you informed.
But this project will...
But yeah, this will be larger. I think as Mr. Shah mentioned, the last capex cycle for this project which we did was 120 crore investments with a revenue potential of 200 to 250 crore. So the next cycle is expected to be hopefully bigger and more, I think, important projects, high value products. So the capex cycle could also be larger for development of our Dahej site, some products for SCC, and hopefully the revenue potential should also be larger as compared to our last cycle which we are about to complete now.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one question and one clarification. Question on the export side. You did mention that, you know, there are potentially more molecules from the parent, Sumitomo Japan, which can potentially come to India. Is there any filter or shortlist or any, you know, technicality in terms of chemistry-specific understanding and hence the target universe will be limited? Or, you know, the technology, etc. can be transferred and there is no restriction on that?
There is no restriction on that. I think the entire technology transfer can be made. There is no limitation on that.
Sure. And from a timeline perspective, it's just a matter of time, as you mentioned, since they are looking at India as a core manufacturing base.
Right.
Okay. And a clarification on the domestic side, you did mention, you know, slightly a higher inventory in the system. Wanted to clarify whether that is a scenario both for our specialty range of products as well as the generics, and by what time frame you know, should we expect things to normalize?
Oh, so it is not pertaining to specialty at all. It is pertaining to only generics. That is number one. Number two, as I mentioned, that every month, I mean, luckily or fortunately, by grace of God, we did not carry huge inventories in this particular fourth quarter of 23, and our levels of inventory at high cost is coming down every month because we are replenishing the new price raw materials every month to a limited extent. So we are seeing that our average costing is coming down in month of May from April, and our June prices are also coming down as compared to May. So by end of June, I don't think we'll have any old high cost inventory.
Thank you, Mr. Periwal. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Avendus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, quick 2-3 questions. So just wanted to understand Sumitomo Japan, they are going to manufacture $1 billion of molecule, right? The new patented one. So that end formulation, if the value is $1 billion, so can we assume that 30% would be the technical contribution? And will that be the addressable market size? I understand we may not have registrations or technical capabilities, but broadly speaking, possible to quantify that?
We also 30% of $1 billion will be active.
So see, this what you mentioned is the sales potential which STC has mentioned for some of the new latest generation molecules which have been launched, and this is the estimates on a good case basis once the products become mature. But some of these products have just been commercially launched in some geographies, the second products will be launched. So this is a multiple 3-4 products to be launched across the world and ramp up to be seen. And hopefully SCC can achieve those kind of estimates and projections which they have given. In terms of the manufacturing potential, how many of these can be made in India and when, as and when, I think that is not yet decided, because I think what we have seen in the past is typically for some of these new molecules, the first facility is set up very close to the R&D facility, and once the ramp up is happening to a very matured level over 3 to 5 years, that is a time when it can be decided whether to set up those capacities in Japan and India. So I think it is very difficult to give you that kind of estimate that out of this $1 billion or $1.2 billion what SCC has mentioned, how much of this will come to India. It is too, I think, premature to give that kind of estimate right now. But certainly, I think as Mr. Shyam mentioned, the talks are on that if some of these molecules and chemistries can be made in India. That kind of a talk is certainly on. It's a direction we will look at it for sure. But how much and what percentage, what amounts, it is too early to commit or mention.
Okay, but just wanted to understand that Indipine and those Provecto and all those newer patented molecules, I think they've taken almost 1 and 2 years into their cycle, right? So what time will they reach their peak cycle? Is it in the third, fourth year, or is it in the fifth, sixth year? Because I think no new capacity is going to come in Japan, right? Or they are going to expand, because the older molecules, gradually they'll have to shift to India, because India is the only technical facility, right? So if you can throw some light on that.
So what I told is precisely that as per the estimates of Japan, these products will require more active ingredient in 3 years, 4 years time. And that is why we are talking today, and we are trying to match that gap of 3 to 4 years, whereby we should be ready with the production to cater to the global demand or increased demand. So that is precisely why we are starting the talk now and ensuring that when they require that additional volume in 2 years, second year, third year, fourth year, at that time we have the production facility to cater to that demand.
Thank you. Mr. Gandhi, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good evening. My first thought is of looking at the reduction in the inventory values in the overall price table. There should be a reduction in the top line for first quarter and first half. So if you're looking at volume growth, how do you see the outlook for margins? Are you looking at margins per unit being maintained and thereby the asset helping you achieve the percentage margins, or are there benefits from the new launches which will give you some increase? Because if the top line is going down, logically the margins will fall. So that's it all behind this question.
Yeah, so it is a combination of few things. Evidently we'll increase the volume of new launches, that is number one. Secondly, the prices which are falling, obviously the top line will be affected. So our strategy is very clear that wherever the top line or the prices have fallen of the products, our plan is to increase volume substantially in those products so that the overall margins at the end of the day is maintained.
Okay, makes sense. And the second question is, if you're looking at bio solutions, I think you started launching some products. So what is the thought process from that, and to what extent will you be able to get the benefit of the presence that ACC has to Valent Biosciences? Many thoughts on adding new products this year and next year in bio products?
Yes, we are every year we are having some product or other. Even this year in the late fourth quarter, we launched one VBC product in this segment. And we got maybe half of the season to cater, and the product is very well accepted in the market. So we are looking forward to the full season for this product, which is meant for Apple in this financial year. Also, there are two products from Valent Biosciences, which are under registration. We hope that we get the registration this year, and that will also be launched. So yes, bio is a this segment is very, strategic for not only us but for Sumitomo Chemical Japan, and they are very, very insistent on this segment to grow, and that is why they are making a lot of investments in M&A opportunities of bio companies. And as I mentioned earlier, this new acquisition that they have made, we have to make a lot of studies as to which of the products of that new acquisition can be brought into India. So all that discussion will start in maybe in the second quarter. I think there is a meeting in global meeting on this subject in the month of July, I suppose, and then it will be rolled out. So it is going to take time, but surely we are both Sumitomo and us both are looking forward to having some good products out of that range to be introduced in India.
Thank you. Mr. Ramesh, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Two questions. First is that I understand that we don't have any royalty payment towards our parent, right? So what's the thought process there? Because almost all the Japanese companies that are listed in India have royalty payments. So how do you think about it? Do you rule out royalty for the next couple of years? Or what's the parent thinking?
Well, I think I can best answer this question that Sumitomo Japan is very clear about the focus in India. India is a very, very important and strategic country for them. They have deliberately not asked for any royalty so far, even for technology transfer products. And however, I cannot say for sure what will happen in future, but I am sure that the royalty, even if we have to pay, will be such that it will not even hurt us at all. So it can be a token royalty, or it can be nominal royalty, or it can be anything. But of course, yes, your presumption is right that as of today, we are not paying any royalty to Japan. I can only assure you that I will, on behalf of this company, I will try to maintain that status quo forever. But I cannot say that what Japan will think. But I'm sure that Japan will, as India is strategic for them, I think royalty is not on their minds. What is on their minds is how to grow Sumitomo Chemical India, how to make the best advantage of manufacturing base over here, and how to supply the products globally at a economical rates, and how to increase the volumes. I think that is their strategy.
And just to add here, I think the supplementary information, I think as Mr. Shah mentioned, this is the philosophy of our parent company SCC, and wherever transactions are involved, we are not at all talking about royalty. However, in some cases where there are no transactions between our company and our parent company, and we might be using some of the intellectual property of our parent company, there might be, from the compliance and transfer pricing point of view, if there is some token royalty required, which may not be like any amounts or any kind of a token amount, just from the transfer pricing compliance point of view, if there are no transactions but only use of the intellectual property of our parent company, those kind of things can certainly be looked into in the future to make sure that we are 100% compliant. But apart from that, from fundamental point of view, as Mr. Shah mentioned, there is no expectation from our parent company to make any kind of a money or revenues out of the royalty from India.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is for Mr. Ozawa. So in your interaction with the SCC management from Japan, how do they plan to use the surplus cash of Sumitomo? And secondly, can SCC's association with Sumitomo India extend beyond agrochemical business?
Very good question. Mr. Biyani, on the lighter note, you have asked a wrong question to a right person. He will say, give me all the dividend back. sorry, jokes apart, but yeah, Mr. Uzzava, please.
Sure. As you know, SC India's management mentioned a couple of times, you know, here in India market is very, you know, strategic one for Sumitomo Chemical Parent Company Tokyo. So what we're thinking now is, you know, spend the money by ourselves. Ourselves mean the SC India to, you know, accelerate the growth here in India. So invest in manufacturing, invest in new technology, invest in new product. That's the expectation from SCC Tokyo. And second question was
money.
Maybe, you know, that comment will cover the second question as well, I think. So if you have further questions, email to, you know, SCIF later.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. So again, my question is, Mr. Unnavatam, first is, how much of global outsourcing for agrochemicals does SCC Japan do? And second is, again, a light question. Now, so we have we are on the fag end of completion of the first project, outsourcing project. Why are we taking so much time to consider for the next project, given that there will be a lead time of, you know, say, 3-4 years before we commission the next project, which may be high-value projects or a capital-intensive project. So between this timeline, there may not be any material growth from the exports opportunity perspective. Thank you. Hello.
This is the operator. Sir, we are not able to hear you.
Yes. You know, as Mr. Shah mentioned previously, Sumitomo Chemical Tokyo have not put any limitation to transfer our product into here in India. And then the reason why it takes time is the, you know, the market evaluation is so important. And then, you know, what kind of product should fit in here in India from the marketability viewpoint as well as the manufacturing viewpoint. You know, we need to carefully take a look at that part, and then once we build up the facility, you know, we do not want to stop that, you know, operation after 3 years or 5 years, whatever. So that's why we carefully see the those, you know, 2 points, and also registration is the another issue. You know, it should be a go in line with the manufacturing plan. So,
thank you.
Sorry, I'm saying, you know, and then we're not, you know, relying upon the third-party manufacturers. You know, strategically, the manufacturing site in Japan and the manufacturing site here in India are the two pillars for Sumitomo Chemical globally. So maybe there might be a misunderstanding, but we keep putting high priority on those two countries, Japan and India, as a manufacturing site.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Nitin Shakhter from Green Capital Single Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and first of all, congratulations to Chetan Bhai, Sushil Bhai, and Ozawa San for on the consistent quarter and the entire management. So we have 827 crores of cash. I understand 75 crores goes into maintenance, about 120-140 crores goes into the plant capex. Now, we've been indicating the plant capex over the last two or three quarters in relation to, can you give me exact specifics on the Tarapur expansion, which is supposed to be completed by the first quarter of 2023-24, and the exact things on the hedge, and then in specific to the Bhavnagar land parcel. So how much are we on, and exactly what's the state of the capex in terms of the large cash position? Thank you.
So we have already capitalized around 40 crores rupees of Bhavnagar plant in the previous year, in 22-23. And around 80 crores rupees of capex will be capitalized for the plant in Tarapur, which will go on stream in latest by the month of July. And over and above that, of course, as Kunal also mentioned, that we have around regular capex for improvement in process or capacity expansion or something of that sort, that will also continue. So all in all, that is the capex distribution. And for the Dahej site, we feel that over a period of time, next 3 to 4 years, starting from this year or later this year, I think we will have the capex flow of almost 300 to 400 crores.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take that as a last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sushil Marfatia, Executive Director, for closing comments.
Namaste, everyone. Thank you for asking some interesting questions, and thank you to our colleagues for replying the same. We hope we would have addressed your queries to your satisfaction. While the commercial forecaster Skymet predicted below average rains, the IMD predicted normal rains for the current year. The IMD forecast is encouraging news, especially in light of the current uncertainties. It not only just bodes well for the agrochemical sector, but also for the whole Indian economy. The performance of the agrochemical industry in the upcoming kharif season will be determined by various factors, including timely onset of the monsoon, its progress across the country, and equal distribution. The Indian agriculture industry currently accounts for a modest portion of the global agrochemical production. The Indian agrochemical industry is poised for growth driven by the increasing awareness among the farmers about benefits of using premium agrochemical products. This trend is expected to result in higher crop yields and improved crop quality, which in turn will enhance the profitability of the farmers. The government and the authorities' efforts to enhance the agriculture productivity through various reforms and initiatives are expected to yield long-term benefit for all stakeholders. The company's strategic initiatives to optimize its product mix, expand its distribution network, and increase production capacities are expected to drive sustained performance going forward. We will continue to monitor the situation and take best efforts to achieve our growth. Thank you for taking your time and participating in this conference call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sumitomo Chemical India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.